Welcome to another episode of the Deborah Health Report, where we dive into current health and medical topics to keep the Delaware Valley informed and updated. The conversation continues with cardiothoracic surgeon Alan Cheng, MD, about advances in cardiac surgery and the innovations on the horizon that are transforming surgical intervention technology and techniques. Here's Rasa Kay.
Hi, I'm Rasa Kay. We continue our discussion of advances in cardiac surgery with Deborah cardiothoracic surgeon Dr. Alan Cheng. He and his colleagues definitely have a toolbox and skill set that would boggle the minds of cardiologists just decades ago. But as cool as the tools are to use, the bottom line is a better outcome for the patient. A lot goes into that, and Dr. Cheng walks us through what it takes, how to meet that challenge over and over, and how advances in the alphabet soup of AI, VR, and 3D can help.
Well, heart surgery have a long history, so we have a lot of data. So we utilize the Enhanced Recovery Protocol, also known as the ARIS. So what it is, it's a multidiscipline, structural, evidence-based approach in different areas, not just post-op, but intra-op and pre-op. And to give you some examples, pain management. There's protocols to try to avoid opiates or narcotics because those have side effects too. So the use of nerve blocks or non-opiate medications, and also emphasize the importance of early extubations and also early ambulations that will help and has been proven to improve the recovery rate and the timing of recovery.
All right, when you say early extubation, early ambulation, obviously get them up and on their feet, but early extubation, what?
Yeah, early extubation, so obviously the patient is on the ventilator for the surgery. So post-op, we do the extubation in the ICU. In the old days, there's no really protocol on when to extubate the patients, but there are data out there showing that, well, if you get the patient extubated within the 8 or 12 hours, patients have improved outcome and less complications, such as pneumonia or infection rate. So we try to optimize everything in terms of getting the patient ready to get extubated and come off the ventilator.
So that the body is starting to heal itself.
Yes, exactly, exactly. It's to reduce the complication rate and start to recover as early as possible. And then the other protocol is like sternal fixation. There's data and protocols. Instead of using sternal wire, we put in a specialized plate to stabilize the bone when we do open procedures. That has been proven to reduce the infection rate and also
wire
the pain control.
Wire is what? Stitching it together, correct? Wiring it up?
Yeah, for the longest time, stainless steel wire has been used alone to bring the chest together. But now with the advance in technology, there are specialized metal plates that we can use to stabilize the bone. Because if the bone keep moving, there's always a risk of pain, for one. But also it has been shown that it will increase the infection rate because like things are not really healing and then things can open up and get infected. So part of the enhanced recovery protocol is to fixate the bone with certain plates and things like that.
And those plates stay put?
Yes, the plates stay put. They stay put, you don't have to take it out, and they really stabilize the bone. The bone is not moving, so there's less pain and less infection rate.
Bionic man.
Yeah.
All right, so the recovery protocols and all of these cool tools. Monitoring. How much monitoring do you have to do of a patient after they go home? Even. I mean, do you have them hooked up to anything so that you can see how they're doing? Oxygenation or heart rhythm or anything? How does that work?
Yeah, with the advance in technology, there are different things you can do. So nowadays, with the technology, you can remotely monitor the patient heart rate, you can monitor the rhythm, blood pressure, oxygenation, and those data can be collected and also sent to the provider or the hospital. So those can be recorded and also monitored at the same time. They have telehealth medicine, so if there's any deviation from normal, without even the patient needs to come into the hospital, telehealth can allow the interaction between the provider and the patients outside of the hospital. And also nowadays with apps and internet, like the patient have access to communicate with the provider online with the app and so forth, but also they are able to see their own record within the app, the labs, the imaging report, physician note and stuff. I think all those combined create the remote modern that you're referring to.
I think that in this short time we've been talking, you may have used the word data like 100 times. Data is so important to everything you do, for outcomes, for prognosis. Tell me how your team uses all this data and how has the availability of the data changed cardiac surgery?
Medicine in general, and especially heart surgery, it needs to be data driven, meaning that the data that we collect kind of help us understand not only the patient better, but help us to understand what is the best treatment for the patients. So in cardiac surgery, we collect all sort of data, including patient characteristics like comorbidity, intra-op data, what procedure is done and what was done, and also post-op, the outcome and or any complications. For heart surgery, we enter it into a national registry. The gold standard for heart surgery is the STS, Society of Thoracic Surgery, national database. And we enter all those data into that national registry, and then that registry will collect data from other centers too. So they collect 95% of the heart surgery procedures in the United States. So they have all the data, most of the data for heart surgery in the United States. So by using that data, you can, for one, compare the center's outcome to other centers and identify any gaps or things that they need to improve. But also with that data, we can know more about patients. So there's a risk calculator. So we know exactly if the patient comes in with different kind of comorbidity, we can enter those data to that registry. We know what is the risk of mortality and morbidity. It can actually calculate the percentage. And also it helps the specific surgeon to know like what needs to be done or what is the rating. At Deborah, we know exactly every quarter, we know exactly where we stand compared to the national ranking. So we always get 3 stars, so the highest rating, so we know we're doing the right thing. And we send our data to the health department too. We know that recently we have the lowest mortality in heart surgery. So all those data kind of help us identify what needs to be done and whether we need to improve.
And then on a patient-by-patient basis, I guess if you're monitoring somebody and they're recovering and they're freaking out because they've just had open-heart surgery or they've had a heart procedure, and you have the monitoring data to reassure them and say, everything looks good.
It helps the patient too. It helps you to explain it to the patients. It's objective data. So this is the number, this is what the image show. It helps you to help them to understand the process. If they don't understand what's going on, what they have, they tend to be more scared and more stressed on the family. So those data give us an opportunity to provide the patient and the family some objective value or images to explain the process.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're freaking out because they've never felt this way before. And you can say, this is perfectly normal. And this is what it looks like. Yeah. And look, see, this is how it tends to look according to, because you've got all the data to back you up.
Yes, yes. So you can see it kind of relieves the stress from the family and the patients. If you have those data to back you up, I think it's very important.
Your team. You've got anesthesiologists, the perfusionist. Now, exactly what is a perfusionist?
The specialist who operate the heart and lung machine or the cardiopulmonary bypass machines. The cardiopulmonary bypass machine is an important part for heart surgery. Once we're inside the chest, we connect that patient to that machine. So it diverts all the blood away from the heart so we can stop the heart and operate within the heart or on the heart. So the perfusionist runs that machine to maintain perfusions to the rest of the body when your heart is stopped, and also to provide oxygenation.
Also pretty critical skill set. And then you have some very skilled nurses. So how do they all work together? And how crowded is your operating room in a minimally invasive heart surgery situation?
So heart surgery is a team effort. It requires a lot of different areas of specialties. So we talk about the perfusionist. So a typical heart surgery, we have the perfusionist in the room that runs the heart-lung machines, but we also have the anesthesiologist. They start out doing the pre-op assessment, and then in the operating room, they help maintain the hemodynamics, but also manage and induce general anesthesia. And then you always have a first assist. Say like if you need a bypass surgery, so we have a first assist, start taking the vein out from the leg so we can use it for a bypass surgery while I'm operating on the chest.
So you've got two surgeons at work at the same time?
Not necessary. The first assist could be the nurse practitioner or physician assistants or another surgeon. So depending on the case and situation, but you always have two operators working closely together. And then you have the nurse in the room, multiple nurse in the room. Some will help manage and provide instruments and maintain the sterile field and things like that. And then you have nurse that record all the data within the operating room and do the documentations. And then you have nurses that help to provide communications either with a different team, the intensivist, or whatever instruments that we need from a different area. So it's a big team. It's a teamwork.
It seems like it would be quite the choreographed ballet. It's a lot of talking, or is it just at the point where you're all used to doing this work together? You've done these procedures a gazillion times, and the communication is pretty minimal because you've all done this dance before.
I like the term that you use is a dance. That's how I see it too. So different heart surgeons have different styles. My style is like, well, the team have to work well together and know what is the next move. So kind of like a dance. And we have a good team that have experience, know exactly if something happens, something needs to happen. So plan A, plan B, plan C. So they have experience here, but also understand the physiology and the hemodynamics together, because everyone provide different kind of support.
Hemodynamics, what does that mean?
Hemodynamics, meaning that the patient heart rate, blood pressure, oxygenation, all the vitals or numbers that needs to be maintained to support the perfusion and oxygenation of the whole body and the brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did throw around some numbers there about DeBora's standings. So how does DeBora Heart and Lung Center stand out? Brag time.
I think the main thing I like about DeBora and why patients like DeBora is because DeBora Heart and Lung Center is a specialized hospital. So the main focus or emphasis is focus on heart and lung care. So we are able to provide the most advanced heart surgery and care. In terms of the national registry, we have always have the highest rating, like 3 stars comparing to other hospitals. Even recently, we got the recognitions from the health department. We have the lowest post-op cardiac surgery mortality in the whole state of New Jersey. At DeBora, because of the focus and experience people, and we are able to provide very specialized care. So that's kind of reflect in the outcome that we are able to provide.
Do we fully understand the heart? Are there still mysteries there?
I think in terms of heart surgery, when the patient have certain disease, we know what needs to be done. There is still mystery in terms of whether other approach can be done, say like stem cells in a cellular molecular level. But for heart surgery, it's very mechanical problems with the heart. Say like your heart, when patient have malfunction valve, it's either a blockage or a leak. So we have to go in, either repair the valve or replace it mini-invasively. I think the most common heart disease, we know what to do with heart surgery. Heart surgery have advanced to a level that know what needs to be done for what kind of patients.
So looking ahead, what's out there that you think could have the biggest impact on what you do?
The main thing is to educate the community. say like minimally invasive heart surgery. Now you still have to know and have to go to a specific center or go to a specific surgeon like here to get that opportunity. But at the same time, there are communities that don't know about it or offer that to the patients. So my hope is there will be more education in the community that more patients can benefit from the approach or the option for the patients. The technique and skill set is advancing over time, so less and less invasive approach can be done. And in terms of heart failure too, for example, the device technology, the pump, the artificial pump technology, I think it will keep improving. It has gotten so small now, like you can fit it on your hand. It used to be big and you have to put it in the belly. It advanced to a certain level, but more advancement can make it so small that we can put it in an even less minimally invasive approach, but also the way how to charge a battery within the body or the technology of battery will change. So a patient with an LVAD do not need a cable anymore. They kind of like your phone, you can wirelessly charge the battery within the body. So that technology is under research. So that will change the whole recovery of what the patient has. So the technology will change in terms of heart failure treatment or LVAD technology. Because eventually with that, if the device is small enough, it doesn't have a cable coming out, it can replace heart transplant. The number of donor heart is still very limited compared to the patient suffering from heart failure. So all those technology and skill set, I'm hoping to see more in the future. Yeah.
That's Deborah, cardiothoracic surgeon Dr. Alan Cheng. Join us next time for an in-depth look at a health issue affecting you or someone you care about. As always, it's available the first Wednesday of the month. I'm Rasa Kay.
You can always listen to all of the informative Deborah Doctor interviews at DeborahHealthReport.com. Schedule an appointment at DemandDeborah.org.